I'm glad you're here. In Luke chapter 20, we're going to pick up reading in verse 27. As we made this journey through the Gospel of Luke, we now see as Christ turns towards Jerusalem, the things he's fixing to say and the things he's already covered in this chapter, he starts dealing with the religious lost crowd. This is a crowd who said they knew the Lord, but they didn't know him because they didn't know him. And when you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. You can't pray to God without praying through his son. And if you don't belong to his son, you can't pray at all. That's the thing. The Bible says, starting there in verse 27, notice this. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. As we look at this passage of scripture, I want to preach to you on what's going on here. And what's going on here is the attack of the liberals. The attack of the liberals. The liberals are still attacking the book of God. There's two types of liberals in this world that attack this book. We expect it out of one of them. That's the political liberals. I don't expect people that's political liberals to believe the Bible, because just by the statement political liberal, they don't believe anything. They believe in re-election. They will say anything to be re-elected. I heard a man say recently of Joe Biden, he said, if you re-elect me, I'll stop the border and stop the problem. And a guy made a video about it and said, what is he saying? He can do that right now. He's lying. And I thought, man, it's so great to watch somebody get their eyes open. When they realize they've been lied to and the switch comes on, it's like, you ever see that in people's eyes before? Has it ever happened to you? That crowd's lying to me. I'm keeping them up. Instead of enabling that crowd, fire them. Vote them out. It ain't working. Things are getting worse. So not with the local, fire them too. Every one of them. Change them out every 8 years. They both need to be changed for the same reason diaper needs changing, and it's for the same reason for both of them. You'll get that in a minute. But I look at this chapter, and I look at what's happening in this passage of Scripture, and I see clearly the attack of the liberals. We find out who we are with by answering what's going on in this little passage of Scripture. Number one, we see the question of the critics. Look at verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny there is any resurrection. Now, let me ask you a question. If you don't believe in a resurrection, why would you question the Lord about the resurrection? What would the point be other than you're attacking him? And if you don't believe in something and you're going to attack him, see, these Sadducees are Jews who denied the existence of angels, spirits, miracles, and especially the resurrection. They didn't believe in any of it. None of it. They said, we don't believe that. But yet you're going to come to the one who created all the angels, that created all the spirits, that literally created and done all the miracles that were done right there in Galilee, right there in Israel where he was at. And he's going to one day provide the resurrection, which he showed us in John chapter 11 when he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he come forth of the dead.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me you're going to question him about something you don't believe in. I see critics lining up all in this day and age. This crowd here was what you'd call the religious and rationalists of the time. Their counterpart today is the modernist or the liberal who believes in nothing but materialistic physical beings and the deduction and finding of what's called physical science. The same crowd that told me in 2020 to trust the science also believes a man can have a baby. Let me define the word science to you. Science isn't a class you take. Science means proven knowledge. So how do I know that's true? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down?
Amen.
Are you sure you're sitting down? Then you just proved that your pew that you're sitting on holds your weight. That's an absolute fact. Some of you are pushing the limits of science. Smile, it's okay. Your face won't break, I promise you. Now listen to me. I didn't call any of you fat. I never said that word, Trey. But listen. I am proving that this platform will hold a certain weight, whatever that weight might be. The doctor tells me it's always too much, no matter if I lose a bunch before I go there. It's always too much. I told the nurse last time when she was weighing me, I said, the doctor reminds me of that guy in the Bible that's the traveler. He always wants more. I said, you remind me of that guy. If I was 281 a week and I come back 200 next month or whatever, he said, we got to have you down to 160. And if I got in there at 160, you know what he'd say? Well, 135 is your height and weight thing, whatever that scale is. Well, it used to be 145. I don't speak to that guy that makes him charts out, because I don't think he's right, because most people's my height are my weight. I can't find clothes to fit me now. If they'll fit me up here, they don't fit me down here. If they fit me down here, they're way too big. I don't understand that. But I do know this much. Science is proven knowledge. And the crowd that's saying that we believe only in science, we don't believe the Bible and all this other stuff, they lie. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to watch out for this crowd that says they believe in science, falsely so called. Every pastor I know has to deal with that at some point in time. Somebody comes up and says, I'm a man of science. The last one that said, I'm a man of science, you know what he said? He said, I don't believe the Bible, I'm a man of science. We were sitting in Pete's restaurant. Brother Ben, I looked him right in his face and said, what grade did you get to in school? You know what he said? I quit in the 10th grade. How many 10th grade scientists do you know that dropped out of high school, never made it to take the first course of college in science? I know none. He wasn't one either. So how do you know? Because I watched Sherlock Holmes. I read them books. I started deducting that guy. So I said, if you didn't make it through the 10th grade, you never took biology and passed it. In Gaffney schools. I don't know how it is where everybody else is, but I know you Gaffney, that's when you have biology. I said, so you can't tell me that you have successfully cut a frog in half and named all the body parts and cut them out and showed them to the teacher. Well, I don't mean nothing. It means everything. Every scientist does that. And by the way, that frog ain't changed in 6,000 years either. His lungs are still his lungs. He's still, if you cut that stomach up, you'll find bugs in there. Don't laugh. He can jump higher than you can. I seen some kids out there, they playing and catching frogs. I remember we used to do that as a kid. We'd come in the house and our pockets would be doing this. They said, what you got? Nothing. Then all of a sudden you see a big wet spot on the bottom of your pants there. It was our science experiment. We was fixing to cut him open and find out what made him tick, you know. But the critics come up and they say, we believe in physical science. Modern liberals deny that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. They say he didn't come like that. He was just a man. That's where you're sadly mistaken, because Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. He wasn't an apparition. He wasn't a spirit. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He came born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died an atoning death, and he's coming back in that same physical body that he resurrected from right here on planet Earth. He went to heaven. He's coming back soon. And boy, is he mad Amen. About this crowd.
Amen.
Listen, when they flat out deny him, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says that if they don't acknowledge him, they're not even saved. You can't be saved and not believe in the bodily appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. That's a fact in the Bible. And listen to this. They flat out deny him by removing one word out of their belief system. Here's the word. Infallible. Infallible. When we tell you we believe the Bible, listen, you go to our church website, you find a doctrinal statement. You know why? I don't want anybody walking the door saying, well, I didn't know y'all's a bunch of snake handling idiots. Oh, wait a minute. We're not them, are we? He said, you call them people idiots. I sure did. If you pick up a rattlesnake and talk to it and let somebody beat a tambourine around it, you've lost your mind. If that snake bites you, you deserve it at that point. That thing ain't designed for worship services. Can somebody say amen right there? I'm glad there's no first-time visitors here. They'd just got up and run. I would have. I'm telling you, I wouldn't sit in a church a minute with one of them things. I don't even fake that stuff. I don't even have a little thing making that noise up here, because I know that's wrong. You don't do people like that. But I see these people come along and say, well, what does that got to do with anything? I want people to know before they get here what we are.
Yeah.
I don't want people showing up this church saying, well, man, where's the snakes at? Why ain't you handling snakes? Do you see the name Baptist out there? You know what that means? That means we don't handle snakes. I don't know what else it may mean to you, but that's one thing it definitely when I'm looking for, listen, we're going to vacation in mountains up there. That's the word I look for, and I'm going to tell you what I look for in that word. I know I'm safe if I go in the door.
Yeah.
Went in one up there, one in mountain churches. I went there and sat down. I started looking around. I walked up to the platform and looked around. The pastor walks up and says, can I help you? I said, yeah. He said, you're looking for something. What are you looking for? I said, the snake box. He said, we don't believe in that stuff here. I said, just making sure. I want people to know. And if that man come down here, I'd want him to look around too and say, just making sure, boss, just making sure. I don't want people walking in this door thinking we want them liberal outfits neither. When you see Baptists, that should mean we believe and preach the Bible. We believe, preach, teach the Bible, live the Bible. It's all right here. We believe what the Bible says. And when the critics come along, they leave out the word infallible, and the word infallible means incapable of error or mistake. And listen, when we look at the fact that of the word infallible, that describes our Bible. It's incapable of error or mistake. There are no mistakes to find in the Bible. And if you think you found one in you. You know what it is? The understanding of the English language. I hear preachers talking about, we're just old dumb country church, we just love Jesus. That's great. And then they try to quote Greek words, Hebrew words. We believe in Mashiach. Can you pronounce that again for me, please? And by the way, for all the agape fellowships all across America, it's agapao in the Greek, not agape. I took Greek too. Our teacher was rough. He said, if you're going to pronounce it right. And then he also said this, unless you try to impress some stuffed shirt preacher, don't say it at all.
Yeah.
Say amen right there, everybody.
Yeah.
I need to get you to understand English. You have enough hard time with that. So how do you know it? Because I can see how you treat thou shalt not. I wonder how you do the rest of the language. And I ain't talking about how you pronounce the words. I'm talking about how you live them. I noticed that the question of the critics, they come along and what they do there. Master Moses wrote to us, if any man's brother die having a wife and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed into his brother. Then there were therefore seven brethren. I'd like to know these guys' names, wouldn't you? So what are they doing? They're taking a fictitious story to try to prove something against the truth. This works the same way with your Bible. I'll get up and preach that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And there will inevitably somebody somewhere say this. But what about that little Mexican boy that lives in a trailer, that lives at the end of an alley in a cardboard box in downtown Guadalajara? And I always ask them the same question. What is the little boy's name? You know what they always say? Well, he's not real. Let me get this right. You're going to tell me a story about a little boy who don't even exist to try and question the infallible Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and you're going to do it with a fictitious story. May you grow up and sue your brain for non-support at this point. But, or do you have to have a brain there to sue it first? I don't know. But I see so many people say things like that. Do you realize what you're saying? We prove the truth with the truth. We don't bring a lie to prove the truth. The truth crushes the lie. And I've told every one of them, if you can give me the little boy's name and address, I'll send him a Bible in his language. They're worried about some other language and somebody out somewhere that don't even exist rather than the Bible they got in their hand. Yeah. That's a critic. This is your crowd. Listen to this thing here. You're talking about a mess here. It says, there were therefore seven brethren. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife and he died childless. And the third took a wife, and like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. I look at that, and I see assumption out of these critics. They assume they have an answer, and they're fixing to trap the Lord Jesus Christ in their answer. They think they've got something that's unquestionable, but they just tapped into unlimited knowledge right here. There's nothing he don't know. How great our God is. Unlimited in his power, unlimited in his knowledge, and unlimited in his grace. And when I look at this, I see the answer of the Savior when he starts to turn to him. When they assume that all the dead rise, this is a gross error on their part, because Jesus told them in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 22, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. They come to him with a question about scripture and they didn't even know the scripture. Does this sound familiar yet? Well, you know the Bible says in one part to make the ark with pitch, another part it says make the ark without pitch. Which one is it? And then a third ark says to make it without pitch inside or out. Now, which one is it? You know the brightest, richest atheist in America said that in the 20th century to that guy that looks like Alfred E. Newman on Mad Magazine who used to work for ABC, Ted Koppel. First off, the first ark is in Genesis 6. It's called Noah's Ark. They put pitch on the outside so the water wouldn't get in. Remember that one? The second ark is a little smaller. It contained a baby. The baby's name was Moses, and Moses means drawn out of water. They had pitch within. So why? To keep the baby from crawling out the ark and keep the water from getting in there too. Third ark is the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't need pitch within or without, because when it got near water, the water said, whoop, we're backing up. Yeah. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And looking at that simple statement, they assume that all the dead rise, and that's a gross error, because all the dead don't rise. They fail to learn about two resurrections which are separated by 1,000 years. One is resurrection of the just at the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, where the dead in Christ shall rise. At that resurrection, you and I will be transformed immediately in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, and up we go. So I don't like flying. You'll love this flight because it'll be that fast. Oh, and I left out the best part. There'll be no airport to go to. I told Brother Fain I would love flying if it wasn't for airports. That's a true story. So why is it bad because of them? Because the government could mess up making a sandwich if they made a sandwich. They'd have the meat on the outside of the bread. I'm telling you, the meat and the mayonnaise would be on the outside of the bread. But in their assumption, they assume there's one resurrection when clearly there's seven in the Bible, but the two they're referring to that they try to put together is resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the unjust happens in Revelation 20, where death, hell, and the grave give dead was in them. They stand before God to be judged. By the way, hell don't go away. It's still with them when they come up. So those are two very different resurrections. They don't know. They don't have a clue about either one. You know why they don't have a clue? Because they don't believe the book to start with. They just found something they thought they could trap our Lord in. But we see the answer of Christ starting in verse 34. When they start this thing, they don't know who they're fooling with, because it says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage." True or false? True. "But they which shall be accounted worthy obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." See, what happens in heaven's different than what happens here. Y'all know, do y'all remember your wed vows? Those of you that are married, do you remember how they work? "Till death do us part." Then the thing's over. You're no longer married. Yeah. Do not pray for any man to die today, Mary.
Amen.
I knew somebody would give me an amen. Nobody else would. Don't pray. Listen, don't pray for that. But that's what dissolves that thing. There's a bill of divorcement. We could go all into that. But ultimately like this. When you get to heaven, there won't be no marriages up there. There'll be one marriage up there.
Yeah.
Right. So who's that? All the believers to Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Yep. So what are we doing now? We're trying to learn how to be a good wife.
Yeah.
When we get there, they'll neither be married or get. We won't, listen, I love my wife. I'll do anything for her. But we'll have separate mansions in heaven, not because we don't want to be around each other, but because God gave them to us. If you live in a mansion now and you die and give it to me, then you have one now. We'll probably not stay in it, but we'll have two. Up there, we'll stay in separate ones. But here's the good part. We'll never sleep up there either. We'll never have a bathroom in either one because your body won't need it up there. How about that? Eat all you want, don't have to worry about it. No gaining weight in heaven. That's the best part. No diabetes in heaven, right? And for some of you, listen, you got to understand this. This crowd that believes they're going to be married in heaven, they're not getting that from the book. They're making that up. Your Savior just said they're not marrying and giving in marriage in heaven. Yeah. Do you realize how many times you'd get married in heaven if that were true? You got all of eternity to figure the thing out. But when you get there, you won't be doing that. Therefore, that kills all this cultist Mormon theology of having all these wives in heaven, this cultist Muslim theology of having the 72, whatever it is, and this, that, and other. No, that's not heaven. Heaven's not centered around your marriages. Heaven's centered around God Almighty. He'll be in the throne in the midst of the thing, and we'll worship Him there. You know why people don't like church? We come here to worship God, and they don't like to worship Him here. You'd hate heaven. I see clearly the answer of our Savior saying, listen, what we got to do is this. We got to realize that heaven is different than earth, and when the marriage is over here and we go to heaven, by the way, we'll still love one another there. Probably even more now than we are now. But he says in verse 36, Jesus answered the Sadducees' question, gives the three incapacities of these rationalists that they're doing, these liberals. Neither can they die, verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels of to the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. You're equal to an angel. You don't become one. Let me be nice about this. I'm going to say as nice as I can. You will not get any wings when you die. You will not need them. How could you fly without it? Superman does. You ain't got a problem with him. Where do you think they got the idea from? They stole it. We just sang the song. Did you hear the song? I'll fly away. What do you think that's about? We're going to sprout wings. No. I'll fly away. That's at the rapture. Out of here. You think that's going to be something that's going to happen so fast nobody's going to see it but you?
Amen.
It's going to take glorified eyes to lay eyes on it. People are not going to walk outside and say, look at all the Christians going up the sky. A, there won't be that many of us, and B, they won't see it. It'll happen like that. They'll wonder where we are. The Antichrist will say, they evolved out of here. Evolution, you know. Aliens come, God, and we've been setting up by the government right now. Aliens, aliens, aliens. What they don't want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, there are no aliens. You know what it is? They're testing all kind of aircraft around us right now to see if we can see it. That's what they've been doing. In the 70s, we saw a stealth bomber near here. Everybody said, we is crazy. You can tell you how it looked. Same way that thing looked out when it came out in the late 80s. Exact same. Looked like a big old boomerang-looking thing, almost like the bat plane. Imagine that. So you believe in all that? I kind of don't want to, but when two black helicopters fly over my house every once in a while, I kind of get paranoid about all this stuff, okay? So how do you know it's them? Because it shakes the whole house. I live around old people. We don't get that loud. We quiet folk.
Amen.
I'm the loud neighbor. And when they're louder than me, that's bad. Christ says to him, he says that they're not like that. He said we're equal to the angels of God. They are able to go anywhere and do anything. But here's another secret for you. So you walk out of church being more educated than you walked in. They don't have wings either. Hey man, look here. I got a picture of my Bible. It's got an angel with wings right here. That's not a photograph. It's kind of like Jesus with long hair. It don't exist. That's not his driver's license picture. It's an Italian guy, about 15th century or so, 14th century. He's painted. Oh, and the big clue, he's got blue eyes. Not him. He's not Italian. He's Jewish. So what difference does that make? He'd have Jewish people hair, not Italian people hair. That's one clue right there off the bat. And it wouldn't be long. No, he didn't have a buzz cut. No, he wasn't bald. He had Jewish hair. Now listen to me. As I look at this passage of scripture and I see he said be like the angels, how is it we look at the angels and we see what they do and can't believe we're going to be equal to them? Do you know at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were at least seven angels present? Well, they showed up at that tomb. They walked in the thing. And you know what? There was one sitting there saying, he's not here, for he's risen. Where is he? He's not here. He's risen. One rolled the stone away. One was sitting on the stone. And none of them had the wings. Say, wait a minute. What about them that fly around through heaven? Those are cherubim. Different creature. Think about this. Don't get too lost in your idolatry over this. But we got to believe the Bible, not what we see on TV. Watch this. Neither can they die anymore. Verse 37, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush and he called the so forth there, we're about to call them the Lord, called Abraham and all that, and Isaac and Jacob. And we look at this stuff and we see these three incapacities they have. Number one, self-deception. It says in Romans chapter 1, they're self-deceived, verse 21 and 22. They profess themselves to be wise, they became as fools. They have an ignorance of spiritual content of the Scripture. In Acts 13, verse 27, it says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet in the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, talking about Jesus. And they have a disbelief, number 3, in the intervention of divine power. I can't understand why people don't believe God intervenes in man's affairs. How many close calls have you had in your life? I mean, you use one breath between here and eternity. I've got a man that preaches here for me and stands behind this pulpit and preaches that he had cancer and God healed him. Most folks that know him don't believe it. I spoke to a girl the other day. She said she was on fentanyl, heroin, all this other stuff. And she said, but you don't know how I feel. She's right. I've never taken fentanyl that I know of. I've never taken that. But everything else she named I'd been a part of. I said, your problem is those drugs have you fooled and believing you the only one. You don't know how it is to be me. You don't know how it is to be like I am. But I do know. But it don't matter whether I know. He knows. Yeah. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yeah. Yet without sin. Mm-hmm. Are you saying Jesus did drugs? Not at all. But he is tempted the same way you were, and the same way I am. He was tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. He is tempted with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, just like you and I were, and he walked away from it.
Yeah.
I said, what your problem is you are paranoid because you are high right now. How did I know that, wonder? I must have been where she was at some point in time to be able to spot it, because I'm not police trained to know it. People get so dumb sometimes. He says here and tells them all this stuff. And he says in verse 38, for he's not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. These Sadducees, to be somebody who don't believe in a resurrection, they sure have an obsession with death, because in verse 28 they said, if any man's brother die, verse 29 the word died is used, verse 30 he died, verse 31 and he died, and verse 32 and the woman died. And those that do not believe in the resurrection get themselves deep into death, don't they? I heard a preacher friend of mine say at a graveside service the other day, I will probably the rest of my life never forget what he said. We're out there in the graveyard fixing to have this burial, right? And he says this. He said, if you want to hang around in graveyards, hey, you sure have a problem. I thought about all the people I know that's obsessed with that. They got a problem. They're looking for the God of the dead, not the God of the living. I understand this, and I want to tell you this from the bottom depths of my heart. If you lose someone that's close to you, you should cry your eyeballs till they about dry. You should weep. You should take some time off. Go out in the middle of a field where nobody hear you and scream till you hoarse. You are to look up towards heaven and tell God you missed that person and ask him why he took him, and then trust him that the judge of all the earth will do right and he had a plan in doing what he did, and that you can trust where they're at, that he was fair.
Yeah.
The people that don't, they're obsessed. I drive home by a graveyard every time I go home. Let me tell you what I see out there. It's scary. Ain't no dead people out there. They're all dead. They're not. I can walk through that thing at night and don't bother me. I'm saved. Doesn't bother me. I am worried about them copperheads that get out there, though.
Yeah.
And don't you think they don't crawl through that place every once in a while? If you ever hear gunshots up there at 11 near a graveyard, I'm out there at Justin's grave. I stopped by to change the flowers. One of them showed up, and he just made his match. He met the thou shalt get the hollow point if you scare Greg bullet. But what's scary out in that graveyard is not dead people walking around. It's lights. Don't believe me. Go right up there one night. There's lights on a bunch of the graves out there. I've never asked nobody, if you do this, please don't get mad at me, okay? Get mad at me for something else, not this. I'm saying this in total ignorance. Why do you put a light on the graveyard where somebody's dead if you're not going out there at night? We buried a child. He don't need a light. He's not there. He's in heaven.
Yeah.
Where they have no need of the light, for the sun is the light. Not the S-U-N, the S-O-N.
Exactly right.
He don't need a light up there. They don't need a light out there. But yet people do that. Why do they do that? I have no idea. If you're getting off third shift and going to see him, that's fine. I could see that. But keeping a nightlight on, a candlelight vigil for eternity, where do you think those people are? You need a light on somewhere else. You can tell you where you need it? Right here. So what's the difference in that? The difference is this. If you know where somebody's at and you know God has them, it's okay. Do mourn. Do cry. That's normal. And you'll never lead a normal life without getting through that. Are you listening to me yet? I get down to this very last thing, and I see he's not a God of the dead, but of the living. When our relatives, friends, whatever, when they die in Jesus Christ, it's only their body that's dead, and that's temporary. They're in heaven, more alive than they've ever been. When we're here left behind, our turn soon. I kept noticing a thing in a graveyard at the end of the day. They kept walking by. They all had the same thing. You know what it was? A dash. birth date, dash, and either the completion date or there wasn't one. Everybody in this room, and don't raise your hand, but if you made your funeral arrangements, that's great. You know why? That means your stupid kids don't have to. Oh, did I say stupid? I'm so sorry. Listen, they're going to fight over everything you own anyway. And there's always going to be one that's going to be so dumb that they're going to think when you say, well, you can just have it all when I die, that meant that that's what the will said. There's always going to be one. If you have five children, one's going to believe that. How many you got, Brother John?
Might be five.
Ah, there we go. One of them.
Yeah, but Mama did so I could have it all.
I got a cousin like that. There's nothing in writing that ever said that his parents said that, but he says that. They had to go to court and settle this stuff. They should have settled it in the front yard and said, no, they didn't. Here's what the thing says. Ain't that crazy? I mean, why do people do that? Because people are greedy. They're greedy.
Amen.
When the thing's over, listen, if you've got the thing already set up, they'll come get you and have everything ready. If not, here's what to do. Let me see. Say, how much is that again? Well, Daddy said bury him in a pine box. He didn't care. Country song. That ain't how they do it. And what's that other thing cost? Well, the insurance policy's $11,000. It's going to cost $10,500. You didn't think they didn't have that worked out before you got there? They're in that business. You're not. Get somebody you can trust. That means I'm only going to get $500. Oh, bless your heart. You wanted them to die so you get all their money and you only get $500. Bless your heart. Ain't that a sad way to go? You just counting on millions, you only get $500. How about you get a job?
Amen.
This is the part where I'm going to get mean about this. Go get a job. Quit depending on somebody to die for you to have something. Just go get a job and work and get yourself. And listen. Don't depend on government entitle you and keep you up. Go out there and learn how to weld. Brother Steve needs a welder probably right now. He can put you to work tomorrow making $55 an hour. Just think of this. In 1 hour, you can make more than you got paid at McDonald's all week. You can't sit around and wish for this to happen. You got to go out and make it happen. You understand? You got to get a J-O-B. It's in the Bible. Go look it up. J-O-B. It's in the Bible. Whole book on it. But what I'm looking at is I see people who don't know how to respond to the things of God. Because they line up with these Sadducees and these liberals. The answer of Christ is this. We believe the scripture. We believe what it says about his death, burial, and resurrection. And by the way, remember that thing where she had seven husbands? The only positive I can see about that is she only had one mother-in-law out of seven marriages. Somebody say amen right there. Even you women ought to say amen about that. Don't worry about what somebody's going to say. Just say amen. And if somebody says something later, you was talking about my mama. No, I just worship the Lord like the preacher said. Listen, you need to come to the conclusion that we got to believe the Bible. And people like this asking these questions, we ain't going to see them in heaven. Because they won't see heaven here. They won't look for the word of God here. They won't believe what God told them here. And listen, the question you got to ask yourself, are you with the critics or are you with Christ? Are you part of the Bible correcting, Bible questioning crowd that has to bring a lie to the truth? Or are you part of the way, the truth, and the life? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.